Okay, quiet on the set, everybody. Stand by. Roll camera. Speed. Roll sound.
Speed.
Mark it. And cue talent.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, This Week in Production. I'm your host, Art Aldridge, and on this episode, we're going to talk about rates and sustainability. Before I get into that, I just wanted to say that I've completely underestimated the amount of work it takes to produce a podcast. And what I mean by that is the amount of editing that I'm doing on each episode so far is tremendous. I think it's the natural tendency in my editor nature to try to make every take, every read, everything perfect. And it's not how I wanted this to go. I want this to be conversational and I want this to be free flowing. So this is probably take 12 that I'm attempting to record and I am not hitting the stop button. I'm just going to let it rip. So I apologize in advance. Please bear with me. And here we go. So I'm not going to discuss rates and what your rate should be, how to price a job in terms of dollars, because that's technically, I think that's collusion, and I don't want to go near that. But I do want to talk about how to price jobs so that they're sustainable, how you will become sustainable. And this was a lesson that I learned later in life. I basically have been running my own businesses since I've been about 18. I don't have any formal business training. I didn't study any business in college, which I regret. I think that was a mistake. But I did learn on the fly, and I did learn through some very good clients that I had about how to price jobs. And it goes back, I think, to one of the first jobs I quoted for a new client. And I gave him a good price, and we all do this. We give someone this is a good price. Might not be the price you normally charge. Maybe there's a reason. Now my phone's ringing, so I'm going to have to stop. Jeez. Anyway, the client asked me to give him a price for a shoot. And I gave them a price based on the fact that they were new client. I wanted to get work with them. There was a little friendship between us and I wasn't booked. I had the gear and I gave him a price, you know, based on those factors. And we've all done this to some degree at one point in our, you know, professional careers. Now he was, you know, a little more wise in the ways of business. And he looked at the quote and he actually came back to me and said, this is actually low. I think this is too low. He goes, I want to make sure that this is a number that works in other places, in other cities. Maybe if we have two jobs at the same time and you can't be at both of them, I want to make sure that this rate is replicatable and sustainable for some time. And I thought about that and I thought about what I had quoted and he was right. It was too low because that was all based on things that I could do myself, maybe not charge for every little piece of equipment. But if you think about it, and if I had to hire someone else to shoot, if I had to hire a different piece of equipment, if I had to hire some extra people, that price wouldn't work. And he wanted something that was sustainable. And I went back and I revised the number and I said, this is sustainable and replicatable and it should work anywhere. And that's great. And not that this was the price forever, but I will tell you that whatever rate you charge for a job usually becomes the rate you get. And that's not always 100% the case, but more times than not, I find that if I quote a price, that becomes the price for that particular job or that particular service. So I started pricing my jobs from that point forward with this idea in mind about sustainability. And I don't mean sustainability just for that client, but really for my business as an entity. And we all see businesses fail. Not saying that they're all failing for the same reason. They're certainly not. But a lot of times businesses fail because they can't pay the bills. And if you can't pay the bills, then your pricing model, something's wrong. Your expenses are too high. You're not charging enough per hour. You're not charging enough per day, per week, whatever it is. It's pretty simple math. So I wanted to talk about today about how to think about pricing with sustainability in mind and how I've overcome some objections in pricing without getting into discounting, which I think is a bad trend to start. So the first story I'll tell you is about a client who had a photography business, called me in to do some work with my drone, taking some pictures. And it was a different business model than he had been through in the past because he didn't usually hire out outside of himself. He used, you know, he was internal to his clients. And we did the job, gave him a price, we did the job. And after I delivered the job to him, he came back to me and he said, listen, the client doesn't want to pay X. Will you give me a break so that I can, you know, make some money? And that was an awkward conversation. And I think he only did it because we were friendly and he had attended my Final Cut Pro user group for a number of years. So I did cut him a little break, but I said, I can't do this again and I can't do this job at this price that I just gave you anymore. This was a one-time exception. And that was fine. We didn't do any other work for, you know, a couple years. Recently, he came back and asked me to price out a job for him. And this time I tried the approach of a little education. And I said, well, if I were selling this job to your client, this is what I would charge. This is what I feel the market will pay for that type of work. I said, being that you're going to hire me and we're going to not need all the things that I would provide myself, you're going to do some of that work on your end, here's the price. But I suggest that you sell it for the retail price that I guided you on so that you will make money and you can be sustainable as an entity. And he went back and he did the right thing and got the right price and everyone made money and everyone was happy. And that job became replicatable and I became sustainable and he became sustainable. I've seen this before, even with crew, where I'll ask someone for a price. Let me know the rate for you and your kit. And I think the tendency as people, especially when there's some either friendship or you think there's, you know, an opportunity there, the tendency is to try to give a discounted price. And I asked a sound guy one time, I said, well, give me a price for this job. And I didn't ask for a discount. I didn't ask for a deal. I think, you know, maybe he felt like he needed to offer that to me. And he gave me a very good rate for him and his kit. And I said, this is great. I appreciate it, but I don't need it on this job. I need you to charge me a normal rate, which is something in this range. And I will pay that, you know, rate. I don't need the discount on this job. It's not sustainable for you. And I need to know that the next time I call you, that you're not going to feel like I beat you up or that you got burned. So let's go with a normal rate. And, you know, that's the approach I take to doing jobs. And it's the approach I take to quoting jobs as well. Another example of where discounting is a problem. I have another client. It's a not-for-profit. They are budget challenged every year. And we do this big, long production for about 3 weeks. And again, the tendency has always been historically for them that people give them services and equipment for free. And I've been guilty of doing that with them as well. And I said, well, it's a not-for-profit, but they're a business. They charge money for their product and they should have a sustainable business model, because if I give it away for free, and then they go to someone else, that person may or may not do it. It's not sustainable. In this example, we were trying to do a live host-driven daily race show. And it was going to be like robocams and lighting and audio. And there was a lot of pieces to it. I had all the gear in-house. It wasn't like I was renting a lot of equipment for this job. But I gave them a price based on what it would take to make this sustainable and replicatable. And that price was good until the budget got cut. And I made the mistake of still agreeing to do the job for that price. Next year comes, and the fan expectation is that they want the same thing they had last year or more. This time, there was no budget for the studio show. And now they were put in a position where they were going to disappoint the fan base because they couldn't replicate what they had done the year before based on their budgeting and revenue and planning. So those are examples of why I don't like to price it in a way that's not replicatable. So when I do quote a job, I have to take in all the factors that are involved in running my business. Now, your business may be different. I don't pretend to say that this is across the board going to work, especially if you're a freelancer. Maybe you're working just for a day rate. This model doesn't work for that. But if you have equipment and services and you're a production company, this is something that you should at least consider in pricing your jobs. So a lot of my clients are big corporations. I am required to carry a huge amount of liability insurance, property, workman's comp, all kinds of things that are unfortunately expensive, especially since 9/11. My insurance rates for this type of thing are over $15,000 a year. And that's a big nut on top of healthcare, on top of 401k, on top of energy and maintenance and equipment replacement. So I've come up with a number that includes all of those costs. It's a percentage that I add on to every quote that I do. In addition to a profit quote, I put those variables into my pricing, and that's how I price a job. Now, typically when I do price a job, I will price it at the top level. I want to do this with, you know, all the crew I need, all the equipment I need, all the lighting, considering every scenario and trying to make it, you know, work the best way it can. So that price becomes the first quote. I send it to the client, and they usually come back and say, well, that's more than we've planned for. Okay. I don't just discount it. I don't play that game. Well, how about this? How about this? How about this? And just start taking money off the top. That doesn't work. That becomes not sustainable. The approach I take is that, okay, let's revise the quote and strip out all of the things that are extras or the things that we can cut back on. Like instead of my varicams and cinema lenses, maybe we use GH5s and still photo lenses. Is it going to be the same look? No. Is it going to be very good? Yes. Maybe we can cut down on the lighting and grip package. Maybe we can cut down on the amount of crew that we need. These are all ways that I go and reduce the quote without discounting the price. I then go back to the client. I say, here's A and B. And I say, yeah, there's a difference in the number, but let me explain to you why there's a difference. You know, you want to shoot outside. So I priced the first job with a full, you know, lighting grip with silks and people and enough resources to make sure that your talent is comfortable outside in the sun, that the look is right, and that, you know, everything will go smoothly. If we cut all of that out, we don't have the lighting, the grip, the crew. Your look is going to be different. We can't control the lighting as much. Your talent may be hot because they may be exposed to the sun, and the product is not going to be as good. They may be sweaty, they may be tired, or all of the above. And once I explain the differences between the jobs, more times than not, they will go and find the money to do the quote A job. That's just my experience. But a little education helps, and don't go immediately for the discount. Now, I've built my quotation model in a way that if I had to take a few points off the profit, I could without affecting my sustainability. I know that I'm still covered to a certain point, no matter what. And it's just good business. It makes sense to not immediately go for the discount. Not sure why it is that we tend to do that, but I think once you start thinking about it, you realize that it's not sustainable to do. The last thing I want to add to this discussion is a situation that happened to me out of town, sort of the reverse of that scenario I told you earlier, where I had booked a sound guy and he tried to give me a discounted rate. And I said, no, I don't need a discounted rate on this job. I need to, you know, have you at your normal rate. And that way, when I call you again next time, it's not a problem. Well, I went to Vegas for a job and I need to hire some local production people, a sound guy and a gaffer and some equipment. And what was sent by the production company that I used was a PA, pretty young, new PA, who didn't really know much about even setting up C-stands. And I was paying a gaffer price, a good normal rate across the country. So I didn't take it out on the PA. He probably didn't know anything about what was expected of him, and it wasn't his fault. But I did call the production company, and I said, listen, I've paid for a gaffer. You've charged me for a gaffer. You've delivered me a PA. I'm going to keep him. I'm going to make it work. But, you know, you have to give me a discount on his rate because you've now billed me for something which you did not provide. And of course, I will never go back and use that production resource again. And that's just how it goes in production, as we all say. That was a lot of fun. It would be even better if you could add something to the conversation. Drop me an email at thisweekinproduction@gmail.com. Or even better, call our new TWIP voice mailbox and leave us a message, 601-564-TWIP. That's 601-564-8947. Also, a reminder that This Week in Production is available on all major podcast platforms, including Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. So please subscribe to get every episode. Lastly, if you like what you hear, would you mind giving me a rating or a review? I'd appreciate that. Okay. That's a wrap on This Week in Production. Thanks for listening.